When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's state to state. We got your Nittany Line update. It's a football discussion with Tom and Justin. So kick back and press play.
With former Penn State and NFL defensive back Justin King, I'm Tom Hanifin. This is State of State. This podcast is presented by Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup playoffs this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head to the online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker or unwind with one of over 150 slots games. Head to betonline.ag today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Don't forget to use our promo code BELIEVE. That's BLEAV. For your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. State of State is presented by Bet Online. The game starts here. Are you looking for a higher potential return on your savings? Turn to our sponsor, Save. As an SEC-registered investment advisor, Save safely combines the best parts of saving and investing with its market savings program. Market savings is a savings product that provides you with market returns instead of interest. The returns come from diversified investment portfolios based on your individual investment profile. The return from the investments is paid to you at the end of the selected investment term. But investing comes with risk, right? Well, with Save, your deposit is FDIC insured and never used for any investments. The current variable APYs are 9.07% for the one-year product and 7.9% for the five-year product. So what does this cost you? Well, Save only charges a fee when your investments make you money. To learn more or to sign up, visit joinsave.com/state. That's joinsave.com/state. The link to the website is in the description of this podcast. State of State invites you to join Save.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of State of State. I'm Tom. He's Justin. Penn State football relatively quiet here during June, but a camp going down this past weekend in State College that our own Justin King was able to be a part of. Some news on the recruiting front for Penn State football, specifically looking ahead to 2025. More conversation going on about the whiteout game for 2024. That's been a very touchy subject over the last few weeks, and plenty more. Like, comment, subscribe, turn on notifications, and rate us. We sincerely appreciate it. Justin, I do want to start with you. Had the opportunity, along with some of your family, you got to go to the Penn State Elite Prospect Camp this past weekend in State College on the campus. What was the vibe like? What was going on? How did you enjoy your experience?
I do enjoy camp season, especially when I'm not on staff, because it's a marathon when you're on staff. I mean, days start at 6:30 staff meetings, and they don't end if you have a official visit until 2 a.m., depending on what it is. So you talk about long days. So these guys put on marathon hours, all for the sake of the chance to evaluate all these players that you've seen through the film, all the write-ups. And so camp season is for recruiting personnel guys like the highlight of the year. So even from to come into Penn State, or just to come to the camp and just watch some of the guys that I deal with locally here in Penn State, some of the guys I deal with nationally on an advising scene, and just reconnecting with some of the staff up at Penn State and some of the other coaches that come in. I know Coach Huff came back, and some of the other coaches, Naeem, or some guys that used to play at Penn State that work at other schools, come back, and they're all evaluating. So you're getting a chance to just talk talk ball, to be completely honest. The same type of vibe that you would get when you go to the combine, or not like, no, take that back, not the combine. The combine's a little bit more adult.
I know friendly. What you're saying. Yeah. Yeah.
But like the, you know, but like, you know, the Senior Bowl where you're going around talking about players, talking ball, understanding what's going on, talking about the landscape, what's happening in the recruiting world, what are they facing, you know, so just things like that, and getting to see players compete and the upcoming guys, and just, you know, so it's really fun for me. I really enjoy camp season.
Considering it's something we talked about a lot, but there's three new coordinators for Penn State this year. Does that affect the way these types of camps go down, in your opinion, from what you've seen from past camps? Or is it just kind of a lot of people that might be new to this process for Penn State just trying to get on the same sheet of music?
I think the same sheet of music is actually making sure that everyone understands the evaluation standards and protocol at Penn State. So when you have new coordinators that come in, they have some level of control of the personnel that they want to bring in. But at the end of the day, it still comes from Penn State. So I think this is their first chance of implementing their drills, or their seasoning on their evaluation process, how they take guys through drills, what they want to see when guys are moving, and different things of that nature. But from the standpoint of like camps, I think the structure still comes from James Franklin and Andy Frank when it talks about collecting the data, how the data that we're collecting, what are we evaluating, how we're going to get offers, what's the whole situation of collecting video data so they're not missing players that are coming up for these opportunities to play, and still tracking and get a baseline across a compository of what are elite athletic traits. I mean, you got to think these are great data collectors, right? When you talk about camps over 14, 15 years, that's a lot of data. So you can see like, okay, these guys panned out regardless if they went to Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan, or whatever the case may be. All these guys come through camp. So you get a chance to see what they actually have to offer, and what coaches, how they learn, how they pick up, how they take hard coaching, how they take easy coaching. So it's a great evaluation. I really enjoy it because I get to watch other coaches that are coming up, whether from different schools, to see like how they're coaching, right? So I kind of sit in that space in the ecosystem where I evaluate players, coaches, and kind of help connect the dots all through. So it's a little unique because I'm just taking in all the information, you know what I mean? So it's a fun time.
Well, it looked fun. On your Instagram, you got to reconnect with former Penn State quarterback Michael Robinson, who was in attendance, and of course, head coach James Franklin was there. So did you get to talk to Rob or James for an extended period of time? If so, how did those go?
No, those went, I mean, went great. You know, Mike Rob had his son was coming up as a rising ninth grader, so he was up as a parent, you know, watching the camp. I came up, brought my daughter, you know, she's my nice LIG sports group, you know, little photographer. Every time she's just taking pictures. So, you know, James saw her, is like, oh my goodness, she's gotten real tall since a lot of people have seen her. So, you know, it was cool just reconnecting with the group of guys, and just, hey, what's going on in the recruiting space outside of, you know, the institution? What are we hearing from different areas? Or just saying like, you know, what are their problem areas? Just talking about the business. I mean, that's the relationship that I have with a lot of coaches, is like, all work together. So there's a personal relationship, but there's a business understanding of like, hey, this is the real, this is what's fake, this is what it's looking like, and you know, keep pushing from there, you know what I mean?
And throughout a camp like that, the existing Penn State football roster, select members of the roster, are on hand to help out and observe. What's that dynamic like?
Well, it's interesting because players have a unique perspective, right? Like whether they like a player because he's loud, brash, or they see something in themselves. But it's another form of evaluation. And those guys get to take people or players through drills, might get that itch to like, hey, I like this coaching thing, or I like this camp situation, or I like evaluating. And you know, we talk about using sports as a catalyst to create a good make one. I think that's the first exposure to the real meat and potatoes of the college football business. Everyone talks about the recruiting services and all those different things and exposure camps. University football camps, like these elite camps, this is the core foundation, the meat and potatoes of the talent acquisition process in college football. That is it, right? Where guys come out and compete, perform. All the players that I've seen that have success, I've seen them in person dominate to where it's like, oh, that's my check mark. So like even film and all those things, I do believe film lies. Like it was like film, and the eye in the sky doesn't lie. Yes, it does. In high school football film, it does. So these camps are extremely important, and you get the chance to see like how other coaches evaluate who doesn't have an eye for talent and who does. So I really do enjoy it because you get a nice range of people, and it's talking about a dynamic range of things, whether it's personnel fit, what's the trending topics of players coming up. One thing that a trending thing that was happening at this camp was like the best performers were rising ninth graders and 10th graders. So you see like the younger guys becoming a little bit more polished and playing with a little bit more freedom. And so it's just something to lock in as you prepare information, give insights for my business, and just, you know, again, we're big on collecting and distributing accurate and efficient data.
That is what brings me to this point about the 2025 recruiting class for Penn State football. The feeling from the outside looking in, gauging on social media, talking with other Penn State fans, is there had been some concerns about Penn State's ability to recruit in 2025, 2026, 2027, those recruiting classes. There's been some names that have popped up and then gone away or gone to other schools. And it's been a bit of a feeling of like, ooh, are we starting to miss on some things? And then over the weekend, Penn State jumped back into the top 10 in terms of the 2025 recruiting class. So you talk about data, and you and I rarely talk about the recruiting numbers and the star ratings on this show, because so much can change. A player can be on campus for like 2 freaking months and then hop in the transfer portal. So it's like, I'll believe it when I see it, that sort of thing. And this is all based on the assumptions or the evaluations of different recruiting platforms. So you kind of have to take it for what it's worth, but it is a positive sign. One of the bright spots for why Penn State jumped back into the top 10 nationally is because of a cornerback. And I thought you'd be very interested in Darius Dixon and yourself. I know you have a good understanding of what Dixon's all about. And then on top of that, your stepfather, Terry Smith, is getting a lot of praise for bringing in yet another fantastic corner. And he's going to be a part of the 2025 class. Lockdown you. Yes, sir. So what are your thoughts on Darius Dixon?
I mean, you got a prime player coming out of a modern day to come to Penn State. I think just scaling out a little bit, that didn't exist 5-10 years ago. Like, I mean, that just didn't happen. Like a top corner like that coming to, you know, Lockdown U and playing for a coach like Coach Smith, is it shows what that defense and that back end coaching and development and talent acquisition process has really elevated to. When you look at Penn State from a national recruiting and talent acquisition scene, I think the proof's in the pudding. I mean, talking to a lot of high school families and a lot of players, like everyone's looking for those developers, right? Who can develop talent and get me to the next level, or just make sure that I'm getting better. So if anything does hit the fan, I hit the transfer portal, like I'm continuously getting better and someone has a stock in there in that player. And it seems like, based on the evidence of impact, that Coach Smith and Coach Poindexter in Lockdown U at Penn State has done a great job in that area with the players and DBs across the country, whether it's from the talent acquisition process, the development process, and the deployment, and these guys going into the NFL being ready to play at a high level. That is intriguing for a college or high school recruit, and especially in this day and age where it's very confusing. Where it's like, hey, NIL, should I go to the school based on my NIL value, or am I going to get money here? Versus like, well, the real money is when you essentially get to the NFL, and the only type of leverage that you have in this game is if you can continue to develop and find that avenue of development. So that's kudos to Coach Franklin, Coach Smith, Coach Poindexter, and just the development and everything that they've done at Penn State. But really, shoot, kudos to my pops, Coach Smith, from the standpoint of changing that corner room and just the visuals of what we think of Penn State corners, and it's attracting national talent. So I think something that might not be seen, but I can't go understated on how transformative I think that is when you talk about Penn State and recruiting top athletes across the country.
And especially, you were alluding to it, modern day is one of the most respected and one of the most lauded high school football programs in the United States. So to build that relationship, to build that potential pipeline, I wouldn't call it a pipeline right this second, but to build that relationship to the point that modern day players are looking at Penn State as a viable option, to develop that over the last 5 to 10 years, no small feat. And the thing I also come back to is, obviously, you know, we have an inherent bias on this show with Terry Smith. We think the world of him, but it's such a fascinating case study to me, Justin, in that you've seen multiple changes in defensive coordinator throughout James Franklin's tenure. And granted, Terry Smith is the associate head coach, but is also in charge of the corners, oversees the defensive backs as a whole. His staying power, his consistency, the production from that positions has just been simply astonishing, because it's a small thing, but you would potentially see other programs, hey, we have a new DC in, we're going to change a lot of the position coaches as well. it speaks to what Terry Smith has been able to do throughout his career as a player and as a coach, and the way that Penn State has turned out players, not just to the National Football League, but producing for Penn State at that position. Do you also take a moment to step back and be like, man, this is really impressive?
100%. That's why to start lockdown you, because like there need to be some highlighting aspect of that. When you talk about position coaches just in college football in general, like they're independent contractors. We know that they're associated with schools. And a lot of times there are below average coaches that get associated with schools that really hurt prospects because they think that they're going to a top-notch coach at this school that has this nice brand. And like really the coach is subpar. They're just at this school where all the hoopla kind of covers up. So when we got to get under the hood and make sure that we're making business decisions, like I'm looking for a coach like Terry Smith, who has developed players who have been kept it real and shown evidence of impact, I think is the main thing. Cause I think there's a lot of smokes and mirrors when you talk about the recruiting process. Like as for example, you can be a coach that have highly recruited classes, but they never produced or they never developed or they never were deployed, and you can get celebrated and your brand can be big. And when you get to a school, people love you and all those different things, but like the meat and potatoes of actual success and evidence of impact, recruiting top level players at all positions, recruiting the top players in your room, developing the players in your room, deploying them and they're ready to play. That speaks volumes and the comprehensive, scope of a coach. So like, I'm aware of it. And so like, and I also play for it, but at the same time, I think it's critical to look at like, he's the prototypical coach when I'm talking about building out the profile. What is it that has success? And I think that we can point out the different traits. I'm not going to give all our LIG breakdowns break down coaches and players and all these different things, but he's a prime example, and the evidence is, the proof in the pudding.
it really is impressive to see that, because that's not normal in the world of college football. That churn, that turnover
That means extreme value is being provided, because there is no favors in this business. So, when you talk about extreme value, we just need to know as spectators, what does that extreme value look like? And players as well, because I don't think sometimes players know, like, what value are you expected to provide? And once we understand where that is, be ruthlessly in providing that, or be ruthless about providing that value, and then get a little leeway other places.
And both James Franklin and Terry Smith have been on the record publicly about how valuable that personal relationship is between the two of them, the counsel that Terry Smith has been able to provide to James Franklin, and vice versa. It's really a positive symbiotic relationship, and you just don't see that too often in the business of sports, period, across all sports.
State of State is a proud supporter of Blue White Outfitters. Blue White Outfitters was created as a retail shop meant to highlight the confidence, competitiveness, and fearlessness of the elite athletes found throughout the history of Penn State University. Check out their Lockdown U and Lawn Boys merchandise today. All sales from Blue White Outfitters directly benefit Penn State student athletes. Visit www.bluewhiteoutfitters.com today.
Ready to pop the question and take advantage of 30% off? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com to get 30% off select lab-grown diamonds. That's BlueNile.com for 30% off lab-grown diamonds. BlueNile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
One other thing I wanted to touch on, because last week I had the chance to talk to Zach Seiko from Locked On Nittany Lions podcast to talk about the whiteout game. And this is a real sticking point right now for Penn State football fans. And a lot of people are upset. Obviously, the last few years, you and I have talked about it, and that the whiteout game has either come against an inferior opponent, usually an inferior opponent at least. And on top of that, it feels like the game has been devalued in that, yes, it is a recruiting tool, but the use of the game for home field advantage for the biggest game of the year, circling it around the biggest game of the year at home for this season in particular, people were looking at Ohio State, and then after that, the Washington game as well. Those are the two biggest games, and the likelihood is that Penn State will have the whiteout potentially against Illinois or UCLA, and there's inherent disappointment about that. So Zach Seiko and I had a great conversation about that, and it still remains to be seen which game Penn State is going to officially select for the whiteout. But there was a great question I saw posed by our friends at Blue White Illustrated, and the question was, should the whiteout get protected status as a primetime game? James Franklin has commented on this recently. I think the question I want to ask on top of that is not, should the whiteout get protected status as a primetime game? It's more, could the whiteout game get protected status as a nighttime primetime game? And that feels like a much larger conversation, Justin, between television networks, the university, the conference involved, to whatever degree they're involved. But that feels like there's got to be some sort of compromise somewhere along the line. But I would be in favor of that being one of those protected games, but I don't know how you necessarily go about that.
I know. I think it's a little close-sighted to say, I mean, I can't even say close-sighted, or I lack some level of awareness to protect, to make a nationally televised game protected. When we think about, again, everything coming from talent acquisition and the appearance of parity, like if TV networks and ESPN and everybody's like, hey, whiteout at Penn State is a protected game because it's the greatest wonder in the world. I mean, that's my $15, $20 million worth of free marketing and recruiting in its own. So like, I just don't think that, like, I mean, I don't know if anybody would do that just for the sake of parody or like protecting games. Like, I mean, I don't know. I'm not a pageantry of college football guy. Like, that's not me. Like, I'm not really into it. I'm cool. I can watch it and all that stuff, but I'm about the dollars and cents at this whole thing and like how it operates. So like, I mean, how the fans feel about it, that's cool. You know what I mean? But when we look at just the parity across the board, and yeah, it can be a protected game, but under what pretense? I mean, just because it's a whiteout night game at Penn State. So we're just going to, I'm thinking from like a conference standpoint to make it a protected game. Why?
Well, and I think you're blending, not you, but I think the question inherently blends two different concepts that almost don't have anything to do with each other, because the protected game, that kind of is borrowing from the stuff that we learned about the Big Ten conference realignment last summer. If you remember the protected rivalries, the protected games, and Penn State didn't have one, because as much as Penn State fans hate to hear it, they don't have a defined rival a la Ohio State, Michigan.
Unrivaled. And that's essentially what I'm kind of saying, was like, where you're going to make a protected environment for Penn State, like, across the conference. Like, I would love it. It'd be cool if I was a player. It's like, hey, we got a protected night game. You got to come into the Lions then and play it.
Has that. But, so no one else has that, for the record. So it would be,
no one else has what?
No, I don't know any other college football team, singular school, that has a protected kickoff time and we're doing this special event around this game. Like, obviously there's select ones like Ohio State, Michigan is different, but they play it at different venues every year. And typically Michigan hates night games. They rarely do night games. So they consistently have done those during the daytime. And then Ohio State kind of follows suit.
I would say that's more of a safety issue. That's what I thought. It was more of a safety issue where they couldn't play that game at night because of how hated the rivalry was. And if like you,
that losing, makes a lot of sense. Night
game, think about midnight walking around Columbus. And it's a, so that's why I thought it was. So that that's the closest. Sense. So that's the closest thing to a protected game, but I think that's a protected matchup, right? Like, so when we talk about protected matchup, that's different. Protected environment to our benefit. Yeah, the Penn State guy, I'm like, yeah, great, do that. But right, if I scale out and I'm at the league office, I'm like, are they crazy?
Yeah, and that's my point, is it's one thing to protect a matchup because the rivalry itself is special. USC UCLA, that is a longtime rivalry. I was just talking about the Red River rivalry, Texas and Oklahoma. That's played at a neutral site in Dallas as a part of the Texas State Fair and has consistently been a noon kickoff for a long time. So it's like, it's apples to oranges, the conversation that you're having. I don't know another college football program in the country that could be like, we have one specific event. It doesn't matter who the opponent is. We need the game to be in prime time, a night game. Oh, and by the way, we need to pick the opponent. Like, that's, I just don't see that happening.
No, me neither. Shout out to the State Fair, though. That's one of the best fairs ever. So, like, I can see that. I love that being protected because the State Fair, living in Dallas for 6 years, man, that's a great time. And when the game's going on, I mean, yeah. But again, that's a situation where it's a matchup with an event going around that the whole city is involved in. Like, all the alumni from Oklahoma, all the alumni from Tennessee are like created. And so, like, the economic impact and the benefit is for everybody in this region. This, with that proposal of locking it down, that's like
it benefits only, one people.
Benefits 814 State College. And that just kind of that goes into the, oh, they think they're a cult thing. So it's just like, I get it. It's just, it lacks a level of awareness.
I love us. I love the Penn State football community, but you know, we can kind of drift into that category. But I think you hit the nail right on the head there. It's like you're talking about $15 to $20 million in terms of value for a singular event, regardless of opponent. And if I'm Fox, I'm like, well, if you were Alabama or Georgia or Ohio State or Michigan, it's like, we'd consider it, but it's like, you might be fifth in the Big Ten this year. I don't see Fox rolling over for that type of situation. And that's why I used the word compromise earlier, is because it's like, hey, if you do want to get this as a night game every single year, then you have to come to an agreement with Fox of giving control of when the whiteout game happens to Fox, as opposed to, oh, it's the university's decision. I don't know what that compromise would look like, but I don't think Penn State fans would like it more.
For someone that's been in the room with the TV executives when it comes to decisions for making game times and all that stuff, trust me, the school has no stance on anything. Whatever TV wants, that's what's going to happen. That's a power dynamic that I thought was a lot closer, and it's not. So with that being said,
if you're a TV executive, it's like, you guys wear whatever t-shirts you want to wear.
Whatever you want to wear. Whatever you want
to
wear.
And I don't mean to say all this to like look down on other Penn State fans. I would love to see this as a night game every single year. I would love to see this against the biggest home opponent that Penn State can possibly have, and that to be protected. I think that word should versus could is very, very different. Would I like to see that? Absolutely. I think it's a spectacle and it's a bucket list item in terms of college football. Is it likely? Not really. Tell us what you think. Get at us on social media. Hit us up in the comments section. Thank you for liking, commenting, subscribing, rating us, and turning on notifications. A lot of things to keep an eye on this summer as Penn State's recruiting efforts continue and training camp is right around the corner.
Thank you all so much for joining us. This episode and our entire library of shows is available now on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and wherever else you get your podcasts. Also, let us know what you think of the show on social media and check out all of our content on X, Instagram, and TikTok. Search for the handle at State of State Pod. State of State is presented by Bet Online and by Blue White Outfitters.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.